Hey everyone, welcome back to Rupees Over Ramen, the show where we talk about animation, creativity, the creative process, and tons of other nerdy stuff. So today we're going to be talking about art block and also imposter syndrome and how they affect us and some of my thoughts about it and hopefully some ways of overcoming it as well. For me, art block has been very tough, especially for writing, but also for drawing, where it feels like nothing is coming. And there's so many videos online about art block, and this isn't like the magic pill or the magic answer, but something that's helped me a ton is just deciding to take a step forward and move forward and try working on something. If I'm not doing very well in writing, then I'll go and work on something in Blender or sketch something for a bit, or even just step away and like watch an animated show. Because a lot of times with art block, you need to make sure that you are filling up your creative bank account, as Jake Parker calls it, or also that you are filling up that well that you can take inspiration out of. And it's important that you're refueling. I think it was Andy J. Pizza talked about it in his podcast, but he's like, imagine you're driving a car and your car runs out of gas, but you have no understanding of what that means. Like, you didn't realize that a car needed gas. Like, just imagine that. Like, you'd be freaking out. You're like, what is wrong with this car? Like, it's been driving fine and now it's not driving. And I have no clue why. Like, maybe the gauge is broken. It says like it's still at a pretty good amount. And you're like, I have no clue why. And that's what art block can sometimes feel like. But it's important to realize that, or like burnout, that you're going to burn out. And it's important to that you refuel and you take a break to rest. Like, when you go and get gas, you don't usually just fill up the car. Like, maybe sometimes you do, but maybe you go inside, grab a snack, or use the restroom real quick. You take that time to take a break. And it's important to do that in art and as an artist and as a creative as well. With imposter syndrome, it's a little bit tougher, because basically what imposter syndrome is, if you don't know, it's when a lot of times when you've had a lot of experience in something and you've learned a lot about it, like you've learned a lot about being an artist or being a writer or being a creative or whatever, but you feel like an imposter. You feel like any day now someone's gonna pull off your mask and it's gonna be like, hey, you're not an artist, or you're not a creative, you're not super good at what you do. It was all just like a scam and a sham. And you feel like you're not gonna fit in. And there's so many stories I've heard about this, in where everyone there kind of feels that way. Like when I was in art school, looking back, I realized that probably a lot of people, not just me, were feeling like, hey, I am out of my league here. Like, I am out of my depth. And these people are so much better than me at creating art. But I think something that's really great about art is it's individual. And you as the artist, you making that art makes it unique. And like Austin Kleon talks about it, it's like the fact that you make it makes it original to you, and it connects it to the rest of your work. You don't have to worry about like your style. The fact that you made it and you put in your life and who you are into that art makes that difference. And when talking about this with animation, there's two stories. And it's funny because I didn't want to make a podcast about these for the longest time, because I'm like, I'm never going to be able to do them justice. But I realized that I was falling into kind of that perfectionism and a little bit of like imposter syndrome. Like, I can't do this. But Studio Ghibli films, they are so beautiful and they've really changed my life in a lot of ways. And there's two I think show these principles really well. One is Kiki's Delivery Service, which shows art block and burnout super well, or creative block or writer's block, whatever you want to call it or name it. It shows it really well. And then one that I kind of just thought about, but Howl's Moving Castle shows kind of imposter syndrome really well. And we're going to get a little bit more into that. But with Art Block and Kiki's Delivery Service, she's basically, she's a young witch, and she has this responsibility. Basically, she's reached the age that she gets to go out to a new town and kind of find out who she is, establish a place for herself, and figure out what kind of witch she is. Like, her mother's a witch, and she makes these really cool potions, and she has to go out and figure that out for herself. And she takes like this like hand-me-down broom and goes out on that adventure. And she has like a little radio on her broom as she's going. And she meets this witch who she already knows what she's going to do. She's going to like predict people's futures and do fortunes and stuff. And she's already figured it out. And she's like, dang, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, and she gets there and she's like, hey, I can be a delivery girl. Like, I fly and I love flying. And it's kind of this idea of doing something that you love and getting paid for, doing it for work. Sometimes it can change how you think about it. And she starts not liking flying as much because people that she's delivering to, they're not being super nice to her. She gets rained on, she gets sick, and she loses that ability to fly. And it shows, like, with Art Block, a creative block, you feel like you lose that ability to create amazing things, or even just to create something. You're like, I can't even draw a stick figure. Like, I cannot do this. And with her, it takes her being able to rest and breathe, but also seeing someone in need of her help and realizing that even if she's not the most amazing witch, even if she hasn't totally figured out who she wants to be yet, she has these gifts and talents that she can use to help people. And I think it's done really well. And the music is amazing. It's just a beautiful movie. And there's like a talking cat too. And I don't know, it's really good. So if you haven't seen it, go check it out. But with imposter syndrome, I think about Howl's Moving Castle. And Howl, he's kind of a young wizard, Howl Jenkins Pendragon, and he services like tons of people, and he has an apprentice, but he's kind of like lost sight of who he is and like what he wants to do, and maybe feels a little bit like an imposter. He kind of shuts himself away, and people need him to help with the war, but he's like, no, like, I'm gonna stay in here and like I can't do anything. And Sophie shows up and she's able to make that difference in his life and showing him what he is capable of, and that he's still an amazingly gifted wizard and that he can really help a lot of people, and he's able to help a ton of people, and they're able to create this awesome family of like Sophie and Howl and Markle, which is like the little boy apprentice. And I think it's really, and Calcifer, the fire demon, you can't forget Calcifer. And he realizes that he doesn't need to be like this perfect, suave man. Like, he's, when you first see him, he's like super awesome, dressed up in super ornate clothing and like long flowing hair. And when Sophie cleans like his bathroom, his hair gets all messed up and he freaks out because he's like, my beauty and like my suaveness, like that's all that people cared about in me. And now it's gone. And then by the end, he has like black hair, I think. And he just kind of wears a white shirt and black pants and like just super, just normal clothes. And he realizes that people don't just love him for his clothes and his ornate suaveness, but they love him for who he is. And Sophie shows him that she loves him for who he is, even though a lot of people see him as like this irresponsible kind of just always going after the praise. Sophie's able to see like who he truly is, and it's a really awesome story, and Studio Ghibli shows it so well because it's based on a book. But I've gained a lot of inspiration from that, in my life as a creative and as an artist. And right now, like, honestly, I feel like that. Like, I'm not going anywhere and kind of feel like an imposter and kind of feel like there's a little bit of creative block too. But there's a quote by Vincent van Gogh. And it's about painting, but I think it relates to a lot of creative fields. It's, if you hear a voice within you say, you cannot paint, then by all means paint, and that voice will be silenced. Vincent van Gogh. And Van Gogh has been a huge inspiration to me. Like, Starry Night and Starry Night Over the Rhone are two of my favorite paintings. And how he's able to take the torture and pain and depression of his life and turn it into beautiful art, I think is super amazing. For me, in dealing with anxiety and depression, it's super powerful in seeing what can be accomplished. And for him, it's interesting because he never really saw any success in his life, any monetary success or anyone really wanting his paintings until he passed away. And that's when they found his work and like, wow, this man was a genius. And like, his art is amazing. And his art has totally inspired me in creating those worlds that he was creating with like Starry Night and how he saw the world. And I think that's something also, the perspective that people have. There's like an artist in Kiki's Delivery Service and the perspective that she has sitting on a roof, like drawing birds and like living off in this cabin and kind of breaking social norms and just being herself and being weird. It's like, I just finished the Owl House finale and there's like a quote about how we weirdos need to stick together. And I think that's super cool because embracing your quirks and like your weirdness and who you are helps you so much to create amazing art. I think Angie J. Pizza is a huge inspiration to me and a huge example of that, just embracing his weirdness through his art. And I think it's beautiful. Like Patrick McHale and creating Over the Garden Wall, just embracing that weirdness. Alex Hirsch with Gravity Falls, embracing weirdness. And like Dana Terrace with The Owl House and Alex Hirsch helping on that as well, and so many others, just embracing that weirdness and that quirkiness and how it can relate to people and like who we are, and realizing that it's okay to be weird and it's okay to be odd, and like you don't have to be this beautiful, perfect specimen or like the best thing since sliced bread. Being you is amazing. And like I said in one of my other podcasts, you are an amazing main character for your story. And it's important to interact with the people around you and to connect with them. Like the quote about, if you have this voice inside you saying, hey, you can't paint, then paint. If you have a voice inside you saying, hey, you can't make friends, then go make friends. Or like, you can't make breakfast, go make breakfast. Like some days it feels like that. It's like, I cannot make breakfast. Like go make breakfast, and you tell that voice it's wrong, and you're able to prove it wrong, and you're able to realize that humans and yourself, like you are so capable and powerful. And I think Spirited Away also shows that really well. It's a super beautiful film. But it's this young girl, and at the beginning, she's just kind of sad to be leaving her past home and just kind of lazy in the back of the car. And throughout the film, she is able to like save people's lives and make a difference and connect with people. And the people at this bathhouse like all connect with her and love her. And when she leaves, like they all cheer and give her a good like hurrah as she leaves. I think it's really cool. And finding that in our lives, finding those people around us But yeah, like with the Owl House and finishing off the finale, I've been thinking about how well each of the characters and each of the voice actors were able to show who they are and themselves. And like there's representation in there, but there's also just emotion and connection. And I've been realizing that it's really important as an artist that you're not creating in this bubble or in a vacuum. Like no man or no person is an island. It's important that you're connecting with the people around you and having those healthy relationships with people and getting to know people and being vulnerable. It's like at the end of Howl's Moving Castle, there's like a quote about how a heart is a heavy burden because Howl gets his heart back and he's like, wow, this is a heavy burden. Like, and it is. It's like in caring about things, like pain and suffering and loss can be so much more intense. But that's what makes life so amazing, like caring about people and loving people. And I think with art block or imposter syndrome, caring about yourself and where you are at and taking care of yourself and not just worrying about pleasing the algorithm overlords or creating the next viral video or making the super cool art on Instagram or the memes that are gonna just send people into a frenzy, but just first creating art for you and creating art that's gonna make you happy. It's like you need to be a super fan. You need to be a lover of your art and your stories. And for me, I've been working on stories like fantasy stories and trying to do stuff with animation, learning Blender, and trying to do stuff with comics and just trying to do screenplay writing. And I've done a lot of it, but doing it alone, there's so much that you miss out on because you're not a master at all those things, but there's someone that's they've mastered and like they've like the choosing covens in Owl House, like they chose the coven to be like the background painter or to be an animatic person or storyboarding or a writer or character designer. And their strengths can fortify you in your weaknesses. Don't be afraid to accept help from people. I think just going back to Howl's Moving Castle, Howl kind of felt like that. He had Markle and it's helping him to keep his humanity. But he was afraid, I think, at first to let Sophie in and allow himself to be vulnerable. But it's important that we allow ourselves to be vulnerable and to experience emotion, because that's what it is to be human, is to experience emotion. And as an artist, I found that the greatest thing that has helped me in overcoming art block or burnout or imposter syndrome is light and connection and laughter and joy and just moving forward. Maybe just running forward, doing the Naruto run, enjoying life and just making the most of each day. And that's made all the difference in my life. And I hope that I can do the same for you guys. And I hope that we can all just go forward loving ourselves more and loving others more and remembering the power of connection and the power of laughter and a smile. There's a reason why humor and like comedy and comical relief and stuff and animated shows like with The Owl House and Hootie, but how that can provide guidance and levity to the sadness and the depression in life. You still feel that and you still go through that, but laughter and joy can make it all worth it. And it's like knowing sadness and sorrow helps you to love and treasure joy and happiness like so much more than you could have ever like imagined. And that joy with your family or with your friends, like that joy is going to make all the difference in you as an artist, as a creative, as an individual, and as just us as these lone adventurers or people's just going through life trying to find out who we are. So remember to laugh, have joy, and move forward. Thanks so much, guys, and see you later. Peace.